VOA Africa.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with the 31st Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Gabon. It's the 11th day of competition at the African Football Showpiece. And joining us now from Gabon's capital, Libreville, is Timothy Donagmai of the Voice of America's French to Africa service. Bonjour, Tim.
Bonjour, Sonny.
Tim, the Nations Cup spotlight shining this evening on the northern town of Oyem in Gabon, as well as the western seaport of Port-Gentil. Morocco versus Ivory Coast in Oyem. Togo takes on the Democratic Republic of Congo in Port-Gentil. Let's begin with the Morocco-Ivory Coast match, Tim. How do you see that?
This is a match that is important for both teams. Morocco has 3 points. The African champions, Côte d'Ivoire, has 2 points. So they have to win tonight. Both have to win, or at least Morocco could get by with a draw. So this is a match that is going to be very tough for the reigning champions are going to do everything to advance. And Morocco, being so close to the quarterfinals, is going to bring out her best football in order to move on to the quarterfinals.
The Democratic Republic of Congo coming off a 2-2 draw with defending champion Ivory Coast. Are you picking them against Togo, Tim?
Yes, I'm picking them against Togo because Togo so far has only 1 point. But there's still a chance for them to advance. So they also are going to play a very, very hard football tonight. They will count on all their players, and so I believe it's going to be an interesting match to watch also.
Tim, I mentioned that 2-2 draw between the Congolese and the Ivory Coast. Entertaining match, end-to-end action. Do you think that was one of the best matches at this Nations Cup?
I believe so, but there was also that match between Tunisia and Senegal. Tunisia lost 2-0 to Senegal, but it was an excellent match, very nice to watch. I also think about the last group match between Cameroon and Gabon here in Libreville. That was also a very entertaining match, which ended in a draw, and that eliminated the host country from the competition, Sony.
Four teams have advanced to the quarterfinals. Burkina Faso versus Tunisia in Libreville and Senegal against Cameroon in Franceville. Those look like two great matches, Tim.
Two great matches. Burkina Faso, Tunisia. Tunisia yesterday beat Zimbabwe here 4-2 here in Libreville. But I found the Tunisian team a little bit sluggish. They have been playing a very fast football yesterday. They were really slow on some balls. So I think they're going to be in difficulty against Burkina Faso. But Burkina lost two of her stars, Pitwafa and Zongo. So they also had to revamp the lineup. So it would be an interesting match to watch. And in Franceville, the clash between the Lions, the Senegal Lions, and the Cameroon Lions, this is the match that everyone is looking forward to. very interesting clash between those Lions. So we've seen Senegal, who has a very good record in this AFCON. They finished the group phase with 7 points, and that's due to their draw against Algeria in the last round. So the Senegal Lions are really, really hungry for a title they have never won. So they are really hungry for a title this time around. And Cameroon Lions also brought new players because some of their oldest players did not come. They chose to play for their teams, their clubs. So this is a new team. This is a team that is being rebuilt for the 2019 AFCON that is going to be held in Cameroon. So this match is going to be a very interesting one to watch.
On Wednesday, Tim, the final group matches in Group D, Egypt versus Ghana in Port-Gentil, and Uganda will meet Mali in Oyem. How's that group shaping up, Tim?
Well, Ghana is already qualified, so they don't have any stake in this game, although they are going to make sure they get out flying from the group round. And so, but Egypt and Mali are really the two teams that are vying for a place in the quarterfinals. Uganda is already eliminated after two defeats, so they will only play for honor in this round. But I would say that Egypt is in better shape than Mali. To move forward, it's at 4 points. Mali just won. So Mali has to beat Uganda and then hope that Ghana beats Egypt before Mali can have any chance to move forward. And this is a tall order, Sony. So I feel that the Egyptians who missed the last three AFCONs have a better chance to move forward.
The Black Stars of Ghana, four-time Nations Cup champions, but their last title was way back in 1982. Can they lift the trophy in Gabon?
The Black Stars are very hungry for a trophy at the African Nations Cup. The last time they lost so close from their goal, they lost in the final against Ivory Coast. So they are really, really hungry, and they bought some of their most experienced players, Asamoah Gyan, the Ayew brothers. So they're really in good shape, and they hope to make a good run for the trophy here in Gabon.
With Gabon now eliminated from the tournament, is that a blow for attendance at the matches, Tim?
Sonny, right now I would say it's a blow, but we'll wait for a few days before making the final assessment. Let me tell you that for yesterday's match between Tunisia and Zimbabwe here in Libreville, there were less than 2,000 spectators in attendance in this stadium of 40,000 places, 40,000 seats. So, it's a concern here, but we'll see if in the coming days the Gabonese get over their elimination from the AFCON and come back to the stadium to watch good football.
Thanks, Tim. That's Timothy Donagmai of the Voice of America's French to Africa service. And Tim was talking with us from Gabon's capital, Libreville. And here's another fun Nations Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners. Frenchman Hervé Renard is the only coach to have won the Nations Cup title with two different countries. He lifted the trophy with Zambia in 2012 and with Ivory Coast in 2015. The 48-year-old Renard is trying to win it again this year with the Atlas Lions of Morocco, who are meeting defending champion Ivory Coast this evening in a big Group C match in Oyem, Gabon. I'm sure it'll be an emotional encounter for Hervé Renard, who just a couple of years ago was celebrating with the Elephants of Ivory Coast. By the way, if Renard can guide the Moroccans to the trophy on February 5th, he'll match another Nations Cup record, most Nations Cup titles won by a coach. Charles Gamfi, who died in 2015, won three Nations Cup trophies in charge of the Black Stars of Ghana in 1963, 1965, and 1982. And that record of three titles was equaled by Hassan Shahata, who led the Pharaohs of Egypt to three consecutive Nations Cup titles in 2006, 2008, and 2010. I'll have more Nations Cup news, but first I want my VOA colleague and producer this evening, Jackson Mvunganyi, to kick it! Kick it!
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon is being watched all over the world by football fans. It's being viewed on televisions here in the USA, in South America, in Europe, in Asia, and all across Africa. Johannesburg's inner-city Yeovil area is one of the centers of South Africa's massive immigrant population. Here you'll find people from Senegal to Somalia, Mali to Mozambique, and many more nationalities. And there is no shortage of soccer fanatics watching the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, reporter Darren Taylor takes us to the sports bars of Yeovil.
Yeovil's rocky street is a glimpse of Pan-Africanism like few others. Stalls selling everything from cassava to cell phones blast Kwaza Kwaza music. Exhaust fumes blend with smoke from fish and chicken, charcoal grilled on sidewalks by women from Kenya, Liberia, and Angola. Groups sitting on crates converse in French, Portuguese, and Swahili. The Superbet gambling palace is packed with hundreds of people, all wagering on AFCON soccer matches. One of the punters is South African Thabo Motsepe.
I'm betting now. I was going to ride my ticket to bet for Ghana. It's a strong team in Africa, and they play a great football.
Men order drinks in the Funnelgore pub. A sky blue flag with a yellow star and diagonal red stripe hangs on a wall. It shows the bar's a stronghold for Democratic Republic of Congo nationals. But Congolese electrician Freddy Lendo isn't impressed with the soccer he's seen so far. He complains about too many dour draws and low-scoring triumphs.
The quality is not like a European team.
The game sometimes is boring. 1-1, 2-1, nil-nil, it's boring.
Yet he remains enthusiastic about the Congolese squad after the Leopards beat Morocco in their opening game. In the bar, Lendo grabs another beer and treats his compatriots to a Congolese soccer chant.
Congo! Alele lyopa! Fimbo na fimbo! Togo shikote Afrique bobimba!
He says DRC will also overcome the mighty elephants of Ivory Coast to progress to the quarterfinals.
DRC now is number one in the group stage for the World Cup. We have the good players playing in Europe, the good coach in Gabon. Gonna take the cup.
Lando maintains just one other team is capable of destroying the DRC dream.
Only Senegal gonna beat us, is finished. Africa Coast now is a new generation. Algeria is now is going down, you see.
Ghanaian fan Asamoah Mbun says three teams are capable of winning AFCON 2017.
Ghana, Ivory Coast, Cameroon, these West African teams. My friend, it's not easy to take West African teams out.
But ultimately, he says, Ghana won't be stopped because they've some of the world's best players.
The Blasters, Asamoah is there. The Dayu is there. Atu is there.
But in Rocky Street at the moment, no matter who wins or loses, the party's on, with Africans divided by language and culture, united in their love of soccer. Darren Taylor for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Thanks again for that red-hot listening tip, Barry. For our Voice of America listeners wondering about the old sports emperor's whereabouts these days, well, Barry retired in the southern U.S. state of Georgia. In fact, I just got a message from Barry. And he's excited about that state's professional football team, the Atlanta Falcons, advancing to the 51st Super Bowl in Houston, Texas. The Falcons will play the New England Patriots in the big game on February 5th, which coincidentally is the same day as the Africa Cup of Nations final in Libreville, Gabon. The Falcons advanced to their second Super Bowl in the club's 51-year history. In Barry's words, "I can't help getting caught up in the Falcons fever that's sweeping title-starved Atlanta and Georgia right now. I'm so happy for the Falcons," writes Barry. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sing it, come back, baby, come back.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
Turning to tennis, age appears to be no barrier right now for veteran stars Roger Federer of Switzerland and Venus Williams of the USA at the Australian Open. The 35-year-old Federer and the 36-year-old Williams both won their matches Tuesday to advance to the semifinals at the year's first Grand Slam event. Ladies first, Venus beat the 24th seed, Anastasia Pavluchenkova of Russia. Now that's a mouthful. Pavluchenkova, say that three times fast. Well, Venus beat her in straight sets, 6-4 and 7-6, to become the oldest player to reach the Australian Open women's semifinals in the Open era. It was Venus's 50th career win at Melbourne Park, and it earned her a spot in the last four for the first time in 14 years. After the match, Venus Williams said, and I quote, "It's wonderful to start the year out with this appearance. I want to go further." Venus will next play American countrywoman Coco Vandeweghe, who eliminated Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza in straight sets, 6-4 and 6-love. Meanwhile, in men's action down under, Roger Federer moved within two victories of his record-extending 18th Grand Slam singles title, the most by a male player. Roger beat Germany's Misha Zverev on Tuesday in straight sets 6-1, 7-5, and 6-2. The Swiss star is playing in his first Grand Slam tournament after a six-month injury layoff. Just a great welcome back to tennis for Roger Federer. Another Swiss player, Stan Wawrinka, also advanced to the semifinals Tuesday with a straight sets victory over Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga. The final score from Melbourne, 7-6, 6-4, and 6-3. Meanwhile, Venus Williams' younger sister, 35-year-old Serena Williams, remains in contention for her record 23rd Grand Slam singles title. Serena will next play Britain's Johanna Konta with a berth in the semifinals at stake. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo by Associated Press photographer Sunday Alamba, great Nations Cup photo of two of the Nations Cup players, Gabon's Aaron Appendangoye and Cameroon's Benjamin Mukanjo. Check it out at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. And that wraps up the January 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Jackson Mvunganyi. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Substantial regions of Africa's Lake Chad Basin, particularly northeastern Nigeria, are at risk of facing famine. At least two locations likely already experienced famine last year. Lake Chad shrinking, years of poor harvest, and a limping economy have contributed to the crisis. But the primary reason is the violence and destruction caused by the terror group Boko Haram, its attacks on the civilian population, the armed conflict with the Nigerian and regional militaries, and the resulting destruction of civilian infrastructure. In Nigeria, the Boko Haram insurgency has caused the deaths of some 20,000 people over the past 7 years, abducted thousands from their schools and homes, and practically stopped all agricultural production. It is responsible for the current displacement of 1.63 million people from their homes within Nigeria, where hundreds of thousands are cut off from assistance. The conditions are worst in Nigeria's states of Adamawa, Yobe, and Borno, areas where Boko Haram is most active. According to a recent United Nations analysis, some 8.5 million people there are in urgent need of humanitarian aid. In Borno state alone, 3.2 million people out of a population of 5.5 million are facing severe food insecurity. The UN estimated that 55,000 people faced famine in 2016, and that number could climb to 120,000 by the summer. Around 400,000 children under the age of 5 are severely malnourished, and UNICEF fears that number will also rise to 450,000. To help mitigate this crisis of food insecurity, the United Nations has put out a call for international donations to meet the humanitarian needs of the people of northeastern Nigeria. The 2017 Humanitarian Response Plan, Appeal for Nigeria, a fundraising effort coordinated by the United Nations, is for well over $1 billion. However, if these urgent needs are not addressed quickly, the required budget will grow. Considering that the 2016 Nigeria appeal for $484 million is less than half funded, the prospects for raising a sum of $1 billion will be very challenging. The United States has already committed $92 million in the first quarter of the 2017 fiscal year, bringing the total amount for fiscal years 2016 and 2017 to $291 million. This has become one of the world's greatest overlooked crises. We call on other donors to move quickly in providing humanitarian funding for the millions of people in the region whose lives have been affected by Boko Haram violence and to avert likely famine.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.